Yes, Mr. Price.
Well, you got good stories here, and looks like you're really economizing and going to save a lot of money if I'd like to put you in charge of my own budget.
Well, I think that both the New York Times and the Washington Post have the same thing, Mr. President. I think we got it through, all right.
Bob, I called you because I've given more thought to this base thing, and I haven't talked to anybody, but there are two or three things that are distressing me and disturbing me, and after we talked about that South Africa thing yesterday, and in terms of $100 million, we realized we had to really give some consideration to, and I think that I think we've got a serious public relations problem, and one that could give me a lot of trouble. And I saw a story this morning in Business Week that encouraged me, that kind of plays into what you said the other day, but it was talking about how we had handled the South Bend situation.
Yes.
And you referred to the other day to what you all had done at some particular place.
Right.
And I just wonder if we couldn't get our brains to really concentrating. There are two or three things that just give me a lot of political trouble, and you're not supposed to shape that kind of policy, but if I don't tell you, you don't know about them. One, we can't go close to Orlando unless it's acceptable to them, because we affirm, and you know that, and I guess...
And my proposal...
It doubles it.
That's right, and unless I can make it better than it is today, I think we ought to...
I understand that, but now I want to ask you, because I've got two or three things here I want to ask you. Should I talk to my publisher friend?
Not quite yet, because I can't guarantee you it'll be better, and until I can, I wouldn't say anything to him.
Right.
And if I can't guarantee it'll be better, we'll forget the whole matter.
That's right. All right. Now, the second thing that is, now don't you ever tell anybody I ever discussed Biggs with you. The other day in front of somebody you said something, but now I've got to do something about Biggs. You've got to withhold that, or let us study it, or let us look at it. I just can't welcome that boy who John Connally and our forces took out, this mean Republican who said that you'd murdered boys unnecessarily, and I'd murdered them.
Yeah.
And at that time we wanted to murder him.
Yeah.
We'd give tit for tat. But two or three weeks before the thing, we saw that we had him pretty well groggy. And I talked to you, but that is apparently too late.
President, I think I can, with a clear conscience, take it off the list.
I think you might have got to give us some chance, because...
Well, what I'd like to do is, we can't do it in stages. I mean, I can't give you some chance, but what I can do is just take it off the list entirely with a clear justification which I can develop.
All right, do that. Now, the third thing, it's real important, and it's important to you. The harassment and your time is too valuable, is your Portsmouth Navy Yard. Now, I gather it's the worst one.
That's right.
Now, we've got then to presidentially, and Secretary of Defense and everybody else has got to spend more time and is justified, but we have four key senators, and we've got to be cognizant of that, because they're influential. Muskie is getting ready to give somebody about to succeed Humphrey. Now, I have not talked to any of these folks, but I just analyzed this thing last night. You got that mean paper in New Hampshire, Loeb, who's just going to murder us every hour, and he did beforehand. We just carried Maine and New Hampshire the first time, 69%, and we walk into them. Now, you got Margaret Smith, who I think I showed you that three-page letter already that I've got to see. She's coming in. I've got to have some talk with her. So she's going to be after you every hour and me every hour. I told her a year ago that the Navy Yards had to go and Portsmouth didn't look good. And she used it against me by announcing that I was threatening to close her yard and so forth. McIntyre is a new senator, the first one they've ever had from New Hampshire. And so if we could, if we've got to close it, if we could take a little time in doing so, and we could spend great effort in the South Bend operation, and we could look at every one of these contracts. Now, we've got to spend a little more time watching this California and Massachusetts and Texas operation, because the Chicago people and others just think we ignore the rest of the country on where we place these orders. But if we could kind of watch, as you did, the Kaiser thing, and I think you had Litton interested, and see if we can't find something that will assuage this Maine and New Hampshire, because they have more votes in the United States Senate than Texas and New York. You mean, you see, we got a Republican and so forth, and I've got to have McIntyre, and I've got to have Maine, and Muskie. And if I go to clipping them off at losing four Democrats from two little states here, it's not going to bother me much to clip Waco, Texas. They are my friends,
well,
and they're going to be mad.
Let me tell you that, Mr. President, that little note, that handwritten note that Province gave to you, I read in the plane coming back last night, and he said that he understood why the navigation training school had to go out, and that's a $10 million saving a year, but what he couldn't understand was why the 12th Air Force headquarters was being moved. Now, I came back here and this morning looked into that, and that's peanuts to us. It's $300,000 a year, and since it's so much to him and hence to you, I suggest we just forget about that.
That's good. And now, if we can spend some time, though, like we carried Indiana, Bob. And we can't be political, but we wouldn't have carried Indiana if you hadn't been a little patient and spent some time working with Litton and Kaiser and all that trouble out there to get hungry mouths fed. And now they say it's a model for the country. And Willard Wirtz is establishing a permanent force along the line, bringing in folks like you did there. Now, if we've got to go on Portsmouth, and I'm not going to argue about the merits. I want you to determine that. I do want you to know we're running head-on into some of the toughest. You've got a little, first of all, just to put it brutally frank, the number one pet in the United States Senate is Muskie with Mansfield and that group.
Yeah.
He has been an innovator up there, and he's been the Democrat that can carry New England, kind of like Kennedy revolutionized Massachusetts.
Yeah.
They had two Republican senators, so Jack Kennedy came along and took Lodge out. Now, Muskie's done that. He's Catholic, and Mansfield's Catholic, and they have a little club there that's awful dangerous. Now, I have not talked to Muskie about this, and Mansfield's not talked to me, but I'm just telling you what I know. When you put Muskie and Margaret Smith after us, and then you take McIntyre over from...
And the worst part of it is they've got a lot on their side, Mr. President, in this case. We don't need it, but to take it out causes a hell of a hole in their economy. I know that.
And that's about the biggest federal thing that's up there for those two states.
It is.
It's right on the border. Now, if we're going to do that, can't we figure out a Litton or a Gross of Lockheed or somebody else that's got to use these facilities some way?
I think what we can do is
if we're going to spend $50 billion, we're bound to find some way.
I think what we can do is put it on a contingent basis some way. We don't need it. It has to close, but we're not going to do it until we can figure some way to save the community, that kind of a...
Well, why don't you then, when you do that, figure out some way and look at all these contracts we're letting and specify some of them some of them go into distressed areas or replace some of these obsolete things you got to close up. Now, California is just booming, and I know they got all their subsidiaries out there, but you and Jim Webb ought to get together some way or other, and if RCA operates in Chicago too, instead of just letting them build their stuff in New York maybe New York's not a good place, but California, or even if any of them operating in Texas, I'm not fighting stuff. See that we go a little bit to Chicago or to an Iowa, and Portsmouth too, because we got to hold this union together. And Daley says I'm not in raising any hell, but I don't think the Midwest... We always deliver, and then you and Kennedy don't pay attention to us. You listen to Pat Brown in California, and you listen to Teddy Kennedy in Boston. I know we don't, but that's what they think. And you went out there and did something that left a good impression. I don't know what you did. Didn't you speak in Chicago or C. Daily or something?
I spoke in Chicago. I made a TV program, met the newspapers.
Well, now we got to watch the Midwest. You see, what you put together here is a solid Western but a solid Eastern. And nobody's ever put a New England with this group before. And we put solid Midwest. And we just can't please everybody, but if you could find some imaginative people with your telephonos that you won't let me have and your Adam Yarmolinskys that you would let me have and get some of them some way to take the prime contractors and look and see who got these orders and see if there's not some way that they can use the facilities. A Kaiser could use some of these facilities some way to employ X number of men and then put it in your bids or specifications or say to them, we will start this radar operation provided you can use these facilities up here because we just can't ruin New England. We're going to be in there 2 years from now and it's going to do us no good to have 64 members of the Senate now and have 44 2 years from now. And I'll tell you, this Margaret Smith's going to give you hell every morning and Muskie's going to give it to me every night and Mansfield's going to give it to me and he's going to find out why he can't do this and why he can't do that. And just, if you can, you try to find a way to call that group together and show them that this is pure waste. You just cannot justify it in your conscience. And they are frugal people and they know New England. But before you put them in a soup kitchen, that here's what you're going to try to do, and then ask for their suggestions. See if you can't handle it some way where they don't murder.
Yeah. Well, I'll either do that or some way or other cut it off. This is the one that weighs most heavily on me, to tell you the truth, because I know what economic distress it's going to cause. And I also know, as you point out, all of the pressures that it will develop, and they're going to be very great deeds.
Well, when we go to foreign aid, well, we two votes make the difference to it, and we're asking them for billions. And this maybe involves 10 million or 20 million or 30 million, I don't know what. But comparatively speaking, when you're dealing with that many senators in two little bitty tiny states, it's going to be bad. And you just give some thought to it, and I know what you do will be right, but let's don't write them off and just sock them.
No, I know you're absolutely right in what you're talking about.
Because I want you to know that Muskie's got more power than he looks like he's got.
And he's an evil individual.
And that religion is pretty close in there, and I've watched it, and I see the morning paper, they're putting him in the race to succeed Humphrey. And I just don't want to take on Muskie and Margaret Smith and McIntyre and this John King, you see. He was Bobby's great friend up there, and he wasn't mine. And you remember in New Hampshire, they ran Bobby for vice president so he could get more write-ins than I did. And then I had to go in there, and then they delivered for me 26,000 to 16,000, and they never heard of me. And they haven't ever written a check. They haven't called me. But I never heard from King. But I know he's going to when this hits, and he's going to murder me, and I'm going underground. But I'm going to stay with you, and you just figure out some way to do it. We'll get El Paso out of it, forget it ever existed.
Yeah.
We got a different situation. And then, Bob, you tell this Air Force that I'm not going to run it, but I know that Shreveport is not any place to acclimate your men because they're all Birchites and they come out of a hell of a thing and they can always cut everything but that, and that's where these junior LeMays come from.
You got a promise that it might take a year to get rid of that damn thing. You won't have them.
Well, if they do, we have to take a relook at it, but it's number one in America, and my wife jumped out of bed this morning and said, you mean that they're doing this El Paso and then there's Shreveport? It's 30 miles from their hometown, and that's what did us Louisiana, is that outfit. And just look at that and see what Shreveport's got that the others haven't got, and let me make them give you a written justification. I want to study that so I can explain it to my friends.
It'll take me a while to get this Shreveport thing lined up.
All right.
It took me a year to get rid of Biggs.
Goodbye now. Forget about Biggs.
That's right.
And Orlando, I'm going to wait till I hear from you before I do anything.
That's right.
And then Portsmouth, you'll take the ball and see what'll come out of it.
Exactly.
Bye. Bye.